In 1917, a UK-occupied Palestine was promised to Zionists to create a state of their own. Palestine's foreign affairs minister says a racist, colonialist mentality, quote, rationalized Britain's illegitimate gifting of another people's homeland to a third group and simultaneously disregarded the indigenous people's national identity and rights, end quote. Prime Minister May says she celebrates the Balfour Declaration's 100th anniversary with pride, while saying she understands Palestinian concerns. Join me with Qahar Rizvi as we discuss the centennial of the Balfour Declaration.
Palestinian refugees, who make up most of Gaza's population, expressed their anger towards British Prime Minister Theresa May's support for Israel. This as Britain is planning to celebrate the centennial anniversary of the Balfour Declaration. In 1917, then-British Foreign Secretary Arthur James Balfour issued his infamous declaration, giving Zionist settlers the permission to occupy Palestinian lands. As a result of the Balfour Declaration, Palestinian refugees are still displaced in refugee camps across the Middle East, including the Gaza Strip. Addressing the British House of Commons on Wednesday, Theresa May expressed her unwavering support for the Israeli regime.
That we are proud of the role that we played in the creation of the State of Israel, and we will certainly mark the centenary with pride. And I'm also pleased at the good trade relations and other relationships that we have with Israel and that we are building on and enhancing.
Currently, Israel controls around 85% of the historic land of Palestine, and Palestinians have been struggling for decades to regain their freedom and to establish an independent state.
The Balfour Declaration has caused grave pain and suffering for Palestinians over the last 100 years. The suffering has been increasing and affects all aspects of life. For someone to be proud of creating an entity that has oppressed other people and stole the resources of other people is disgraceful. Britain should be ashamed of itself for such actions.
The living conditions of Palestinian refugees have been getting worse year after year. Decades on, they still blame the British government for their plight.
Britain is the root cause of the destruction of towns and villages of Palestinians and their suffering. It must be held accountable for the displacement and for the fact that we have remained homeless for decades. Palestinians continue to suffer all over the world because of the Balfour Declaration.
Britain continues to turn a blind eye to what it did to us a century ago. Our catastrophe happened because of Britain and the Balfour Declaration. They brought the Zionists to our land and we lost everything.
Generations upon generations of Palestinians are still paying the price for the Balfour Declaration.
The British government's Balfour Declaration led to the creation of Israel in 1948. As a result, hundreds of thousands of Palestinians were displaced and dispossessed. Now, nearly seven decades on, Palestinians are still facing suffering amid Israel's aggressive policies against them. Ashraf Shanan, Press TV Gaza.
Our guests for tonight's debate are Tony Gosling, who is an investigative journalist, joining us live from London. And we're also joined by Maxine Dorvere, who is a reporter and political commentator, and she is joining us live from New York. Thank you both for joining us. Maxine, I'll start with you. What do you believe is the legacy of the 1917 Balfour Declaration?
Good evening. The legacy clearly are several states, one of them Jordan, one of them Syria, one of them Israel, and the available land to create another state, a Palestinian state. The Balfour Declaration affected not only the creation of a Jewish state, but also was the basis for the creation of Jordan, then called Transjordan, and has been a basis for the development of much of the governments in the Middle East.
And Tony, how do you feel about the Balfour Declaration?
Well, I'm disgusted by Theresa May for saying that this was something wonderful. It wasn't at all. It's based on, I think, a total misinterpretation of the Bible. It's one of the most pernicious forms of fundamentalism around in the world today. And let's just remember, nobody elected Theresa May. She was appointed as the Prime Minister last year. the choice of the securocrats, we call them, that is to say the security services here. There was no election, even amongst the Conservative Party, 120,000 members didn't get a chance to vote on who was going to take over from Cameron as Prime Minister. So Theresa May is illegitimate, and the British people earlier this year showed that by massively destroying the Conservative majority. In fact, it's now a minority government that is dependent on a tiny party in Northern Ireland in order to stay in power. So I think what we're seeing here is people who've been put into power by unaccountable security services here, and actually what they're saying doesn't reflect the views of the British people at all. We are, I think, almost all British people disgusted by the way that the Israeli government is treating the Palestinians. Some in fact saying that this is worse than apartheid, because the Israeli government doesn't seem to want to even enslave the Palestinians, it just wants them gone.
Okay, so Maxine, the history of all of this obviously is that the UK at the time of the Balfour Declaration was occupying Palestine. And so essentially the way that this is read,
well, according to... Well, we have to go back to a bit more history.
Well, if I could just complete my sentence, Maxine. The way that Palestinian officials see this, and Palestinian Foreign Affairs Minister has seen it this way, so I'm terming it in the way that he has seen it and put it, is that a colonizer at that time decided to hand over the areas it colonized to a third group, not the group that was already on that land. Is that something really to be proud of, Maxine?
Let me walk back your statements a bit. The Balfour Declaration came at the close to the conclusion of World War I. It was a reassignment of lands that the Allies conquered from the Ottoman Empire. The peoples in that land included both Arabs and Jews. Both are indigenous peoples. There is certainly a very, very long, 5,000 year long history of Jewish presence in that area called Israel today. And there is a presence of Arab people probably for just about as long. Palestine, the name Palestine, was a punishment given by the Romans. The Palestinians were the Jews who were in that area, because the Romans wanted to take away their existing identity. That's where the name Palestine, which refers to the Philistines, the red people from the Aegean Sea, that's where that name came from. It's not an Arab name, it's not a Jewish name. It is a Roman form of the Philistines, and that was named by the Romans, by Titus, the emperor of Rome, after the conquest of Jerusalem. The people who were there were the Jews and the Arabs in other areas in the same region of land. So when we look at indigenous peoples, we are obligated by history, by reality, by fact, to acknowledge that both people have claims to this area. There were some parts of the area that were more, that had more indigenous Jews, and some parts of the area that had more indigenous Arabs. What the Balfour Declaration did was acknowledge the national interests of both peoples in this area, and sought to create a national home for both peoples. And it wasn't just the British who signed off on this. The French in 1918 added their support. The American Congress in 1922 added its support. So this is not a uniquely singular statement. This is a statement that was agreed to by the majority of nations in the Western world.
Okay, so Tony, how do you feel about that? Jews and Muslims, Palestinians, if I may put it that, because the Palestinians are Christians as well, were living
Arabs,
on this land.
Not Muslims yet.
We're living on this land, Tony. So I'm wondering if we read it as Maxine has read the Balfour Declaration, where this should have resulted in states for both Arabs and Jews, why didn't it work out that way? Why is it that it just worked out in the sense of the Zionists essentially just taking over as much as they wanted?
Well, let's just be clear about who is Jewish and who isn't. Actually, what we've got is a vast number of European Jews. All you need to do is look at the colour of the people's skin to see what's happened. These are the people mostly from the areas around Eastern Europe that have come to Israel. They're not the descendants of the people that used to be there. And with those people has come massive disharmony. You know, I mentioned Northern Ireland earlier, and it's absolutely relevant here because we've seen the British playing these tricks over the years in Northern Ireland too, in the days of the English Civil War and Oliver Cromwell, sending a whole load of people over there to settle and to colonise and to cause massive rifts which have led to many wars over the hundreds of thousands of deaths in Ireland. And actually, if you look back even further, Britain has been responsible for the poisoned children of planet Earth. That is to say, the United States of America, many people now look upon as the biggest problem on the planet, and Israel too. Effectively, a mass genocide which happened 400 years ago of Native Americans, the British instituted, and the same sort of thing has been going on, not so many people dead yet in the Middle East by the Israelis. I think also the timing of Balfour is very important. Before the end of the First World War, back in 1917, some have even said that deals were done, and I don't think it should even be called the Balfour Declaration, really. It should be called the Walter Rothschild Declaration, because he was one of the major players, a very powerful London banker, behind it. And what many have said is that the declaration was used as a way to get the United States into the First World War behind Britain, because there was an impasse in World War I, and there was going to be possibly a peace treaty signed, and at that point the Zionists came along to the British and said, well, you can carry on the war and you can win, we'll get the Americans in on your side, sign this piece of paper. Then, of course, 50 years ago, we had the Six-Day War in 1967, which many point to as the end of international law. That is to say, the occupied territories which were taken over by the Israelis, there was no even a pretense of sharing the land anymore. They were kicked out of Jerusalem, most of the Arabs, and the Israelis still want to make Jerusalem their capital. And I'll cut to the chase now, because I think what's being planned is something much bigger than this, that we haven't seen it all yet, because there are several steps. First of all, Palestine is exclusively Jewish. That's what the Zionists really believe, and that they want Jerusalem as their capital. They also want to see the temple rebuilt, that is to say the third temple, and ultimately that's going to mean the demolition of the Al-Aqsa Mosque, and potentially as well an apocalyptic war with Islam. Now these, I think, are the most dangerous fundamentalisms we're dealing with in the world today, and that's why we need, I think, international intervention to stop this conflict between the Israelis and the Arabs.
Okay, so Maxine, you know, we can argue about the history, because obviously this is many of the Zionists would refer back to the Old Testament and bring in religion into this, and we can argue about Old Testament versus Bible versus Quran forever, really. But I want to look at pride here, because Theresa May says she is proud of this. But as you clearly said yourself, Maxine, the Balfour Declaration called for Arabs and Jews ready to live side by side, in a sense, really, where, according to your understanding of it, that they should have each had their own states. It did not work out that way. The Zionists are taking over more and more Arab land as we speak right now, too. We know by the Greater Jerusalem Bill right now that Netanyahu supports will only take over even more land, really. So where does this really leave pride? Why should there be any pride here? This hasn't worked out well at all.
Well, let me first of all correct the image that my colleague in London has portrayed. Israel is more than 50% Sephardic, Mizrahi, meaning Jews who were resident in Arab lands, who were thrown out by the Arab governments the moment the state was declared. There were 850,000 refugees, roughly the same amount as the Palestinians claim. These refugees became working citizens, participants in a living state. They are ordinary citizens. There is a color range in Israel, to refer to the reference to color, that goes from the darkest to the light. from Ethiopians and African Jews who are darker than Ethiopians, through Moroccans and Yemenites, through Jews from Tunisia and Syria, from Lebanon, from Iraq, from Iran, and from Europe as well. And even those Jews in Europe bear many shades. So calling Israel a European white state is the most racist statement that anyone could make. So I'm really surprised that my colleague, unless he's never been to Israel and is simply talking from the top of his hat, if you go to Israel, there is no question about the integration of every point of origin within the general population. There is marriage between people of every background. There is no hesitation for children to be in school together, to be in the army together, to work together, to develop businesses together. So there is a complete opposite in reality in what goes on in Israel today.
It's not the case, is it? In Netanyahu's cabinet,
now with regard,
it's not the
let
case,
me,
is
let
it?
Me go to,
and in the Likud party, it's not the case.
In Netanyahu's cabinet, of course it is. Excuse me, the Minister of Communications is Ayub Kara. Ayub Kara is a Druze. He's not a pale European. And there are members of his cabinet who are Yemenite and from Moroccan. So your statement is completely without base and without merit. Let me refer to the question that you raised about Theresa May's pride. Should this proposal for two states, for two people, be accepted and be acknowledged by the leadership of the Palestinian Authority, there would be two states. However, both states have to be ready to accept the other and not look for an acceptance as an interim state to destruction. If Hamas and Hezbollah state in their own charters that their only purpose or their major purpose is the destruction of Israel, you can't establish neighborly working together.
Because we are running out of time, Maxine, I do apologize,
states.
But I do want to get to my other questions. Tony, I wanted to ask you this, because before coming on air,
please.
Tony, I saw a picture out of New York City, in fact, in front of Carnegie Hall, and the Jewish Defense League was protesting there, and essentially it held up signs saying "Level Gaza," holding the Israeli flag and holding a placard saying "Level Gaza," just get rid of the whole thing, flatten it all. And I'm wondering, how does that then fit in with this ideology of the fact that, you know, we are now going to be celebrating, quote unquote, according to Prime Minister May, the centennial of the Balfour Declaration? That ideology of these are the supporters of Israel in the United States, around the world, they want to level Gaza. What does that say?
Well, there's only one way that they're going to be able to get away with this, and that's with the help of the corporate media, who seem to back the Israeli government and Netanyahu in a rather spooky religious fashion. Look, let's have a look at Gaza for a minute, shall we? 2008, Operation Cast Lead. 14 Israelis killed, 1,400 Palestinians killed. This was a military operation against civilians. And 100-to-1 kill ratio. Now, this is the sort of thing that we've come to expect from the Israeli government. They have no compunction about this. And I think if they have any kind of interest in the Old Testament and the Torah, that they should be showing an example to the world that biblical teaching is being followed. It clearly hasn't been in Gaza. And these sorts of proclamations about leveling Gaza, I've heard similar things from Vox Pops taken of Israelis in Jerusalem. There is a racism there which is being fostered, I think, by the media's inability to be balanced about looking at this problem. In fact, there's no real balance, because the Israeli government and the IDF are armed to the teeth, backed by the United States, nuclear armed, something like 40, at least possibly up to 100 nuclear weapons and nuclear submarines, whereas the Palestinians are still scrabbling for food, and many are starving. So there is no equality here, and that's how it's been presented in the Western press. Also, we've got this blueprint for action, which was put forward in 2005 by a guy called General Thomas Barnett, which is showing chaos across many parts of the world, including all of Africa. The United States has a military plan for most of the world, and a very, very important plan for the Middle East too, presented by Lieutenant Colonel Ralph Peters in 2006 in the Armed Forces Journal, which shows a route to Russia, so there could be a fighting up into Russia through the Caucasus. It shows a thing called the Free Kurdistan, which has caused a lot of problems with this Kurdish referendum. Free Baluchistan, a free Mecca, and Jordan being much bigger as a reward for being a client state for the West. So what we're seeing is the Americans, having taken over in the Second World War, have their own version of the Sykes-Picot Agreement from World War I. And they're saying, we are going to recreate the Middle East, and we're going to allow an expansion of the countries which we like Jordan and Israel. So that's what we'll be seeing, I think.
Okay, because we're running out of time, I want to get both of your final comments. Maxine, I want to go back to my question about those placards of Level Gaza held up with Israeli flags by the Jewish Defense League. Not the first time we've seen this. We've seen Kill All Arabs rallies held in Tel Aviv. We've seen Israelis sitting with their picnic chairs overlooking Gaza, watching the bombing and celebrating it. This is a society which really is really a representative of the fact that we have a very right-wing government in Israel, which clearly, and Netanyahu clearly said before he got elected, he does not support two states. So why even go through with all of this facade? Why not just come out and say, we want all of Palestine, period?
To begin, the Jewish Defense League's founder was thrown out of Israel by the Israeli government. They and he did not represent and do not represent anything near the Israeli government's position. They are a fringe group. If one says that ISIS represents all of the thinking of Syrians, that would be a fraud. They are a fraud as far as most people in the Israeli pro-Israeli world are concerned. The Jewish Defense League has its own problems, and they are like many fringe
groups.
Okay,
but what about the Zionists in Israel itself, who would very happily see the death of an Arab?
No, I don't think that's true at all.
So you're saying the rally of Kill All Arabs in Tel Aviv was a lie, Maxine?
Wait a minute.
Is that what you're saying?
Yes, I do.
So
absolutely.
All those pictures that came out in Haaretz and Betzalem's reporting, those were all lies, Maxine.
Betzalem?
Haaretz, Betzalem, Jerusalem Post, those rallies about Kill All Arabs were reported by Israeli media.
Well, they were reported. They don't represent the position of the government. They don't represent the position of
But you just said that those were lies, Maxine. You said that never happened. You said that was a lie.
I did not say that. I said they do not represent the position of anywhere near a percentage point of the Israelis. I said that Kahana, the founder of the Jewish Defense League, was thrown out of Israel. He was jailed and then removed. He was not allowed to sit in the state of Israel.
We have under a minute left. Tony, I wanted to get your final comments.
Acceptable.
Going forward then, what do you think will happen? We've already seen 100 years since the Balfour Declaration. What do the next years hold, do you think?
Well, as I said earlier, I think that there is a plan, a several-point plan, spelled out actually in a book by a British Church of England vicar, Stephen Sizer. Very easy to get hold of and read, but what they're planning is actually a takeover of Jerusalem, to make Jerusalem the capital. This is something we heard very early in Donald Trump's premiership. And let's look at some of the people who are going to be making the decisions. I'm talking about Boris Johnson, the British Foreign Secretary, and Donald Trump, the US President. Effectively, Trump is a puppet of the mafia. Have a look at his background. An excellent article by William Engdahl called The Mafia Don with a pompadour, all about Trump. And you'll find that New York City, one of the mafia there, Roy Cohen, who was a
lawyer. Okay, Tony, I do apologize for doing this to you. We'll have to continue this conversation at a later date. But of course, we do appreciate both of your contributions to this discussion. That was Tony Gosling, investigative journalist, speaking to us live from London. And we were also joined by Maxine Dover, reporter and political commentator, who had been speaking to us live from New York. And of course, viewers, we appreciate you joining us as well. Until next time, good night.